Well, hello. I'm Lainey, also known as Electro Girl, and I'm an advocate for empowering people to get back in the driver's seat of their diagnosis. See, I was diagnosed with epilepsy 30 years ago and basically was never satisfied with hearing from a doctor that pharmaceuticals would be the only approach to controlling my seizures. I just wasn't going to take it.
Out of my way, mortal.
So I committed many years to researching and finding an answer outside of the Western medicine approach to find a more holistic approach in managing and treating my epilepsy and the seizures. The Love Your Diagnosis podcast is a show about exactly that. Each week, we will be looking into the life of someone who has been diagnosed with a condition or illness and has succeeded in managing their diagnosis both in and outside of Western medicine. To start off, we will look at the Western medicine prognosis and approach to dealing with their diagnosis inside the square. Then, we'll dip our toes a little deeper into their story, where we talk about other empowering modalities that worked for those people outside of that square. Basically, what put them back in the driver's seat of their diagnosis. So hang around with me while we explore living in and outside the medical square when it comes to loving your diagnosis. G'day, welcome to another episode of Love Your Diagnosis. Today I interview a man called Kim Kid Curry, as he was known on the radio for many years. And, you know, he was a radio broadcaster and a radio superstar for about 30 years, 33 years in radio, actually. And then all of a sudden he got diagnosed with MS and his career ended when he was 50. So it was a really big wake-up call for many reasons, because all the connections and networks that he made during his career, he found suddenly disappeared when he got sick. So we'll go deep into his journey with MS. And what I understand about MS is that it's a really interesting connection, or for lack of better words, where the myelin sheaths just start disintegrating around the nerves in the brain and the messages just don't get sent because they get frazzled along the way. There's lots of information in this, you know, a few surprises along the way, and the fact that Kim is now wheelchair bound because of it, but loving life. And we'll find out if he loves his diagnosis or not and what he's got to offer around the issues of vitamin D from a person who was very well kind of into Western medicine. He was totally converted when he found out about vitamin D and prolonging the body when it comes to MS. All right, let's get deep.
Well, my name is Kim Kid Curry. Kid Curry is the radio name. Kim is the real name. I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 2005 after a 33-year radio career that was quite exciting. I was diagnosed in 2005, but multiple sclerosis was lingering in my body my whole life. I just didn't know what it was. MS is we have exacerbations. And exacerbations are caused by a variety of different things: stress, heat, too much cold. So throughout my life, these little things were happening, but then eventually I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 2005. And since then, I've been learning how to become the new me.
What made you go to a doctor to find out that something was actually not right with you? Because I won't generalize, but I'll just say a lot of the men I know have issues going to see a doctor when they feel something off. So how long had you been feeling something wasn't right and you'd been putting it off?
Well, to kind of give you a background, the 33-year radio career was in some very famous radio stations here in America. I took great pride in my radio show. Always had great ratings, worked hard from sunup till sundown, working on my radio show. That form of stress over a long period of time eventually started eating away and causing lesions in my brain. So I was working real hard as a radio DJ doing my radio show. Then in 1996, I was made program director of a radio station in Miami, Florida. And now I'm not only doing my radio show, but I'm responsible for every other radio show on the station. And radio stations don't shut off. So whatever stress level I was having was suddenly multiplied because I was responsible for the whole thing. That added stress over probably a 9-year period started bringing up exacerbations that I had had in the past, but I didn't know what they were. I would have my hand curl up all of a sudden. It would just suddenly curl up and tense up, lose vision in my right eye. These things that were happening to me throughout my life, sometimes I'd lose my walking gait. I couldn't walk straight. They would come and they would go. But after taking over the radio station in 1996 and really concentrating on doing the best job I could for my company, we had the highest ratings in the history of the radio station. That was the most listened to radio station in the Southeast USA. So I was working all the time. We come home in 2004. My wife and I and my kids come back to Colorado to visit my mother. Now, if you remember the tsunami, the first tsunami in 2004 was the first time we'd ever seen anything like that on television. You could see entire populations be wiped out into the sea. You could see cars and houses and animals going out. So whatever that tsunami was in 2004, I was at home with my mother watching this thing. And she started looking at me going, you know, there's really something I don't like about your face. Your face looks contorted and your eyes don't look right. And I kept telling her, Mom, you know, I'm really concerned about what's happening in Indonesia. It's a tsunami. I've never seen this before. So I'm concentrating on that. And Mom, remember, I run the biggest radio station in the Southeast USA. I'm always under stress. That's all you see is the stress. But of course, moms are moms. And so I couldn't leave that vacation time with my mother without her demanding that my wife take me to a doctor. It was the beginning of January or so, January or February of 2005. And to be diagnosed with multiple sclerosis is about a 2-month period because they try everything. They try to figure out what else it could be before they finally say, you've got MS. The final stage of that are spinal taps so they can see the fluids and the chemicals in your body. So after 2 months of testing, I was finally diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. Everything changed at that point.
And that must have been a bit of a shock. What was that period of time between being shocked and actually then realizing this is your life?
I was at a corporate meeting at my corporate office in Naples, Florida, and about 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, and my cell phone rang and I picked it up and my doctor said, do you have a moment? I need to speak to you about the next part of your life. And I remember looking at the phone going, what? So I bailed out of the meeting, went into another room, and that's when the doctor said, I need to see you on Monday because I'm officially diagnosing you with multiple sclerosis. We need to get you set up for the next part of your life because things are looking pretty desperate in your MRIs. So I went back in the corporate meeting, closed my briefcase, said, guys, I just got diagnosed with MS. And I got in my car and started driving home, got on the phone immediately when I got in the car. And so for the 3 hours driving back to Miami, my wife was doing the 2005 version of Google at the time. I'd never really paid attention to multiple sclerosis. I had no clue what it was. But by the time I got home that night, I realized that people die from multiple sclerosis. It was a very telling 3 hours of time on the phone with my wife. It was pretty desperate. It was a 3-hour conversation I'll never forget.
And especially when you're getting all your information from the internet, Dr. Google can be an asset and a liability. I'll take you back a little bit though, Kim. So besides stress, because now you've probably researched into it a lot, and from my life experience, I know stress is one of the main culprits of disease. You know, how healthy was your lifestyle besides the stress? Did you put any thought into what you were eating? Were you drinking alcohol? Like, what other things were you doing in your life that may have contributed to this that you know now?
When I was diagnosed, I was a healthy guy. I had been running basketball, played football, was golfing a lot. Everything seemed to be okay, but like I said, these were exacerbations. So there was really nothing else except for, you're right, the gut level, the things I was putting in my body, the microorganisms that are in my gut. At that time in 2005, there was not a whole lot of discussion about that. But now, of course, later, we learned that these things are and can be some of what causes these strange diseases that some of us get. But my doctor, a very smart lady, Dr. Calagua in Miami, the doctor, I mean, I was always open about my life on my radio show. So the doctor knew that there was really nothing different about me except for the 33 years under intense stress. I'm a radio baby. My dad got me my first job. He was in radio. So this is something that I've always had. And the longer I was in it, the more it really took over my mind and my brain. And the doctor eventually surmised, what has probably happened is for the last 9 years, you've been stressing yourself so much. What has been going on? The MS, remember, lesions occur with multiple sclerosis. The lesions you've got in your brain began firing up the more stress you gave yourself. Eventually, my brain just decided that was enough, and my lesions were on fire. I had been having these little exacerbations, and then for 3 months, they didn't go away. It was a little scary.
How old were you in 2005?
I was 50 years old. I was fine till I was 50.
50, yeah.
Part of the problem that we have, along with the lesions in your brain, remember, it all depends on where those lesions fall, is how your body reacts. The lesions that I have, I've got one on my inner ear, so I've got a vertigo problem. I've got another lesion in my brain around the area that controls the lower half of my thigh to my toes. It's just, they just don't work. We also have a problem with myelin. That's the covering of your nerves. Now, the myelin in MS patients disintegrates. So I can feel pressure on my legs, but you could stab me and I wouldn't know it. But I can tell you're pushing on me, but it happens all the time. My wife will say, whoa, you got a cut in your leg. What happened? Well, I don't know. I didn't see it. Didn't feel it.
So I know about myelin that it's a fatty covering of the electrical nerves. Is there a way to prevent the further deterioration of them by eating, you know, you look it up, myelin, the myelin sheath, that you can increase omega-3s and, you know, coconut oil and increase the fatty deposits into the myelin sheath. Is that possible for MS people to prevent further deterioration?
As far as I know. There is research right now going on that actually they're getting close to healing it, to be able to repair the myelin. But I don't know. I didn't have the experience of enhancing any of my vitamin levels or whatever the case may be to try to. But I understand that these things are all connected, I believe. And my multiple sclerosis doctor, and I'm going to just kind of throw his book up real quick because he's a great doctor. Optimal Health with Multiple Sclerosis. He believes in alternative medicines. He believes that we should be looking into other things. From the very beginning of my diagnosis, I was on Rebif for about 8 years. At the time when I was first diagnosed, there were only 4 or 5 MS medicines. Well, fast forward 8 years later, and there's 3 extra ones. And so after my condition continued to deteriorate for 8 years, my doctor decided he was going to change my drugs. And I went from Rebif to Copaxone. And at the same time, he was insisting that I take high doses of vitamin D. Now, we humans don't absorb enough vitamin D, but my doctor believes that the vitamin D and the medicine connected that the multiple sclerosis medicine is better affected in your body when you have high doses of vitamin D. I fought him for 6 months. So I've never really believed in vitamins. So when he told me to do this, I blew it off. But he kept telling my wife, he's got to do this. So eventually I started taking, I don't know, 30 IUs of vitamin D a day. And 6 months after I changed that particular part of my medicine regimen, my condition leveled off. And
were you a convert then about vitamins after?
Yes. Yes, man. I just know how it affected me. And I can tell people that you should talk to your doctor about it, because vitamin D, I believe, along with the change in the medicine, is what really saved me, because I was desperate. I really thought I was going to die.
Did you travel with the same doctor the whole time from when you were diagnosed to when he changed your medicine?
I left Miami in 2005. Until 2008, I flew back and forth twice a year to see my doctor, Dr. Calagua in Miami, because it was her case. But I was going down so fast. She said, we got to stop this. You got to get to a doctor in Denver, somewhere in Colorado, so you can get action faster. You need, because they had me on steroid treatments. That stops the, you know, sometimes when your brain's on fire, they put you on steroid treatments for 3 days. And I needed someone to immediately pay attention to my condition. So in 2008 is when I changed to my doctor, Dr. Bowling.
Is the steroids meant to reduce the inflammation? In
yes,
the brain.
Ma'am.
Okay. And
yes,
one other question about MS. So the lesions in the brain, was the stress that you were experiencing eating away at the brain?
Her diagnosis was I had lesions that were there because I had MS. And the longer and the more stress I put on myself, the more those lesions fired up. And it all culminated within a 4 or 5 month period in 2005.
You were a full Western medicine advocate, and then all of a sudden your world's been opened up to a different way. Did it stop at vitamin D, or was there other things that this doctor suggested that has helped you?
I tried a variety of different experimental medicines. Ampyra was one of them. I'm telling you, it's funny, when you're going down and you're kind of desperate, I would take anything. Yeah, sure, doctor, I'll try that. There's fault with that too, because the Ampyra, the reason I remember that one was because it did completely the opposite that it was supposed to do for me. It was supposed to help me gain some walking gait, but it completely threw me off and really kicked in my vertigo. I mean, vertigo to extreme. I mean, couldn't look up, couldn't look down, vomiting profusely. It was terrible. So I was desperate. But once they changed the medicine and the vitamin D intake, everything just surprisingly just stopped. Then I took a couple of years to figure out, now what?
Were you in a wheelchair at that stage?
I went from, in 2005, I was on a cane. I went from a cane to crutches to a wheelchair within 3 years. And I'm confined to a wheelchair now.
When you say confined, do you still have trouble accepting it? 2008 to now 2022, that's a good 14 years.
Yes, ma'am.
Have you accepted that you are in a wheelchair, or is that an everyday thing that you need to accept?
My wife, she's a very positive person. I have positivity in my house like crazy. There came a point a few years ago when my wife finally said it to me, and it was the one thing I needed to hear, when she said, you've got to get over being mad about being in that wheelchair. You've got to stop that. Everything that happens to me comes out of this wheelchair. And it angered me when I forget to, you know, to pick up my shoe and pick the other one up and go, oh, I dropped it and I had to get it again. Or I went into a room and I'd rolled all the way in there and forgot that I had to go back upstairs to get something. And I have a chairlift that gets me from level to level. And these things would frustrate me and be, oh, man. But then it was her. She was the one who said, I am picking out what your problem is. You need to stop being so angry about being in that chair, because that's your life.
Well, you married the right person then, didn't you?
Yes, ma'am. My wife was my date at the Grammys every year. And then when you get diagnosed with MS, everything suddenly comes to a screeching halt. And remember, when you're Kid Curry, the radio DJ programming the biggest station in Miami, everybody wants to be next to you. But when you're on a cane, into crutches, into a wheelchair, people don't want to be next to you. That was a mental thing that also took a long time for me to get over, because I was wanted. People wanted to be next to me, and then suddenly they didn't. Even the people I used to work with, and I don't blame this for them for this, because life goes on, but, you know, 33 years of fairly strong relationships and nobody ever called. There was a time when nobody paid attention.
So as soon as you got diagnosed and you weren't an active part of the radio world, people just fell away from you.
There was a reason for that. When I was driving home to talk to my wife about my condition, my wife even noticed when I got home, she said, you know what you haven't done for the last 3 hours is you haven't thought about the radio station. And that was a very telling moment for me. So I completely eliminated myself from the office. I disappeared from the radio business. They couldn't find me. There was searches in trade magazines. Where is Kid Curry? I just disappeared because I had a whole new thing I had to deal with. And it took a long time to stitch together a new me. A lot of different things were happening. My career ended. I had a real fear of what my financial situation was going to be. My condition was seriously in jeopardy. So it took years for me to try to weave the new me that I can even be here with you today, because for a long time, I couldn't talk to anybody.
Is MS a prognosis of absolute death, or can you live with it?
You can live with it. People live with it all the time. It can get so bad you can die if you don't stop it. And there are people out there, and I mean, I go to Men Over 50 meetings, and sometimes the guy is not there who was there last week.
Right.
So it can happen. So it's very, very traumatic. And, you know, you can die from this, but people live with it. I know a bunch of women. In fact, women are normally affected more so than men. I know women who walk the streets who have MS who, because of their medicine, have been able to survive.
So what lifestyle changes did you make to prolong your life so MS wouldn't take you out?
We only eat natural foods in my house, but that's something that I've always really done. I didn't ever do fast foods and things like that. So I cook real well. I exercise as much as I possibly can. I believe, and now that's difficult for me because I really can't do anything. I can get on I have a recumbent bike that I sit in. I put my legs in the pedals and then I use my arms to move everything. But I'm a real believer in prolonging my life as much as I can. I've got positive everywhere around me. I believe your mental state has a lot to do with your daily activities, and I'm always in a good mood. My wife and I we're just positive people. I believe in helping others, and I think that's part of the reason why I do well is because I think well. You know, it costs a lot to be disabled in America. I have my one wheelchair. That's the electric wheelchair that my insurance company gives me, and that's on the main level of my house. I have three stories to my home, so I have a chair lift that takes me from each level. I have a wheelchair, a personal manual wheelchair on each level. I have an entrance from my garage to get into the level of my house. I have an elevator that takes me up. In the back part of the house, in order to get to the backyard, I've got another elevator that takes me downstairs. I have hand controls for my car so that I can drive. And none of that is taken care of by anything medical. I pay for all of that out of my pocket. And there are no tax deductions for things like this.
Wow.
So it costs to be disabled in America. Yeah. And I'm a very fortunate man that my wife makes sure that I have everything I need to live a normal life. But I know guys that have none of that.
Yeah.
And they're as disabled as I, if not more. So somewhere along the line, this great country really doesn't have much to say about healthcare. So,
true to the name of the show, would you say that you love your diagnosis?
My diagnosis was the best thing that ever happened to me. It cleared out my brain. Believe me, being in the entertainment business is stressful in the first place, but being in the upper level of the radio business was very stressful. I don't have any of all of that in my head anymore. I think clearly. I'm healthier now than I was when I got diagnosed. My condition's not getting any better. I'm not getting any worse, but it's not getting any better. So I can tell you that, yeah, I love my diagnosis. It really has made me a better person. I have a big John Deere tractor in the back of my property that I've got to pull myself up on and to get on that tractor because I live on a horse property. Now, John Deere tractors have only two pedals. One goes forward, the other goes backward. So I put my leg on the pedal and I push my leg down and I drive with one hand.
Right.
I figured out how to get on the zero turn lawnmower. I have to figure things out because that's how I'm going to survive.
And for anyone listening that's going through this, maybe at the beginning of their journey with MS, what would be some words of wisdom through your experience that you would say to people going through it that are just being diagnosed or, you know, just not knowing where to go? Or what to do?
I, Optimal Health with Multiple Sclerosis. Dr. Alan Bowling is his name. He works at Swedish Hospital. This is not the first book he's written on MS. He is very deep into it. But because he believes in he said the second title says, A Guide to Integrating Lifestyle, Alternative and Conventional Medicine. He wants you to look outside the box. So yes, there are ways to treat multiple sclerosis, the Western style of medicine. Look at other things. Now I'm going to go ahead and admit, you know, we're here in America. I'm in Colorado, so cannabis is legalized here. My legs seize constantly. I'm on baclofen. I take 80 milligrams of baclofen every day to keep my legs under seizure. But at 1 o'clock in the morning, when I'm trying to sleep and my legs, I've taken all the medicine I can take and I can't do anymore, I vaporize cannabis and it stops those seizures in my legs and I go back to sleep. And that's all done with the knowledge of my doctor. And there are studies going on constantly about cannabis's effect on multiple sclerosis. So there is science out there to look at. There is alternative science to look at. I encourage everyone to, you know, if you need any help, my website is krcurry.com, krcurry.com. You can read about my books and all the stuff that I do, but I am absolutely an advocate for people who have multiple sclerosis. And if there's anything I can do, including send this book to you, I'll send the book to you if you need it, because I believe in this guy. And I believe that you need to have, the more education you have, the better you'll be.
But just before we head off, you wrote a memoir called Come Get Me, Mother, I'm Through. Is that got all this information in it, or is this just about your life before MS?
My memoir talks about my radio career and the crazy, funky things that happened. There's a bunch of stories in there about Casey and the Sunshine Band, Puff Daddy, Gene Simmons of Kiss. I mean, I was connected to a bunch of people. Talks about all the radio stations in the towns that I lived in. Then it goes into my diagnosis and the whole process of being diagnosed. And then it talks about how it costs to be disabled in America. So it's all in my memoir, Come Get Me, Mother, I'm Through. It was a little feature I used to do on my radio show at night. So
thank you so much for your time and for the education around MS. Hopefully people will reach out to you or get some seeds of inspiration from this discussion. And in your radio world, how would you have signed off? I'd like you to sign off how you would have back in the day.
Well,
go on.
We've already kind of done it. I'm telling you, because my name was Kid Curry on the radio. Even though I was 50 years old on the radio, my name was Kid Curry. I used to always act like my mother was going to come and pick me up. So at the end of my radio show, I would always say, come get me, mother. I'm through.
Oh, that's how you would sign off?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
why it's the title of my book.
Okay. Come get me, mother. I'm through. All right. Thank you so much again. Take care.
Yes, ma'am. My pleasure. Thank you.
If you would like to donate to the running of this podcast and you can afford a few little bucks a month or whatever it is that you can afford to keep the show going without ads, please hit the PayPal button. And if you've got a few loose coins, that would really mean a lot to me and other people who are listening to this podcast and getting seeds of inspiration. Also, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, because that just means more people will know about it. If you've got a story that you want to share that you've had success with and that you've researched and found some joy and gold in your own diagnosis, please hit me up. I'm always happy to share anyone's story. The main takeaway message in these podcasts is get second opinions, find a doctor that you really resonate with, and research the shit out of what you're going on. Get back in the driver's seat of your health, everyone. You do not need to take one person's opinion about the rest of your life and how to live it. Thanks for listening. I really appreciate it. I'm Lainey Godiva.